Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
If you're seriously hurt in an accident, you'll want all the money you deserve. That's called justice. But there wouldn't be lawyers if justice was easy. No, justice is not easy. It's fought for and it's won. At Brown & Crouppen, we fight for justice every day. If you want some, call 222-2222. Because at Brown & Crouppen, justice is our business.
How would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Hot takes.
Pepperoncini. Pepperoncini.
Yeah. And now the Pepper and Genie Show with Darren Adkins and Ken Stroh. All right, take it, fellas.
There it is. That's the open.
Okay.
Welcome in. Monday morning, Pepper and Genie. Plowsy, Iggy with you. Hope all the mothers out there had a great Mother's Day yesterday. Beautiful day for it. Hopefully you got out and enjoyed it. We love our mothers on the show. Plowsy, hopefully you had a good weekend.
Yeah, it was eventful, jam-packed, but it went good. Saw the sisters, saw my mom, saw the nephew, saw Madison's family as well on Sunday, so it was all good.
Good family weekend. I did nothing. I came in here for about 5 hours Saturday. Knocked out Ozark, watched some Blues hockey, and started on the, as I said on the show, started on the John Wayne Gacy tapes, and that's pretty much it. But today we thought... and I guess we can tease this later on in the week. We want to do actually, I'm not going to tell you what topic. We want to get a little serious about a topic. I'll just leave it at that. Me and Plowsy talked this morning, and I think I'd like to get his thoughts on this topic. I have my thoughts on the topic, and I think it might lead to some discussion on the fan page when we bring it up. But we'll do that later in the week. Today, frivolity. Worst car you ever owned, worst job you ever had. And I think between the both of us, we could probably do an hour on this because I've had some hoopties and I've had some awful jobs. Why don't you start with your car or maybe a truck in your case?
Man, well, my first car was an 86 Camry, but it was also white with a maroon interior with a huge sunroof.
No, that's not bad.
But there was also like... other parts in the vehicle, like the sunroof from an Acura, the doors were not from a Camry, so kind of a put together vehicle. But hand down, the Ford Contour.
Did at least the doors and colors match?
Everything matched.
Okay,
which was they put it together nicely. But yeah, the worst car I had was I think it was a '98 Ford Contour, very small, compact vehicle, green. When we bought it, everything was off. So, like, neutral was drive.
No.
Yes. So, like, and that was the hardest part because when you took it into a shop, you had to explain, hey, you know, park is park. In between park and neutral is neutral. In between neutral, it was a tough battle to really get it in drive and go. It had so many problems. Had it when I was in college.
So, if I can interrupt,
lasted
this was
about
a used,
8 months.
This was a used car, right?
Every one of my cars I have ever owned has been a highly used car. I mean, not just used, but used.
How did that conversation go when you went to buy it? Now, here's the price. We're going to knock this off because your neutral is park. Your park is drive. Your drive is neutral.
Reverse is like in between park. It was
God
so
almighty.
Weird. The thing was, they kind of knew how desperate I was to get a vehicle because mine just took a crap. I'm in between vehicles. Don't at that stage, 20, I think I was, 19. Not a lot of you know, dropping cash for a down payment type income here. Working at Burger King part time. So got the contour, probably got ripped off for it, and it lasted about 6 months. But in between that 6 months, there was nothing but headaches.
I can imagine your first date. Darren, put it in park. Are you having a drive? No, that is park.
I would never let anyone in that vehicle ever. It was just a death trap. But yes, been locked out of that car so many times by phantom locks. It was miserable.
And locked meant open?
That I don't know, but like you would shut the door and it would just lock immediately for no reason.
So air conditioning meant heat.
So I've left it on and running at a gas station to go in and get smokes, shut the door, it locks, you have a whole day on.
Windshield wipers meant open the trunk.
It was like from vacation, kind of that style of vehicle. God. It was horrible.
Now I had this car, and to this day, which is kind of sad to say, except for the Toyota Corolla I'm driving right now from Muganess, which is a 2022. In my entire life, getting my license at 16, being 65 years old, not quite 65, I've owned one new car in my life. One.
I haven't owned one. Ever. I don't know if I ever will either.
Oh, you will. You're still young. But to think about that, at my age and driving for almost 50 years, I've owned one new car in my life. And even that was a hassle because I wanted to get a car, and my brother Steve worked for Dick Dean Honda or Dick Dean Volkswagen, and he said, "I'll get you a good deal." So I went to Klabes, who at the time was my boss, and you know I had a propensity for getting fired like every other week, in my jobs. And I said, "Now, Klabes, be honest with me. I think I'm doing a good job, but I'm thinking about buying this new car. The monthly payment's going to be pretty high. Am I safe?" And he said, "You're not going anywhere." Like a month after I bought the car, he fired me. But luckily, I got a job quickly. So that's the only new car I've ever owned. But luckily, my parents both had cars, so if I need a car, I could take my dad to work and borrow his car or my mom. But I had a friend of mine, and this is funny because, you know, I always bring up Chris Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Who dated Gail Volva. His brother, Gary Bird, always seemed to have cars to sell. So I asked Gary, I said, I need a used car. Can you give me a good deal? He says, "I got this Dodge. I can get it to you for $750. So I had to borrow some money, but I said, used car for $750. This thing was the size of a boat. I mean, I think it may have had the fins on the back. This thing was a behemoth. And I got it because I needed a car, and I got my own car. Now this thing, I couldn't parallel this park if there were nine spots open.
What age were you?
I was probably early 20s, maybe.
That's still the time where I think, okay, it's a car.
That's it, because I was still borrowing my mom and dad's car. It's the first car. Well, the first car I got was believe it or not, it was a Ford Fairlane 500.
Fairlanes are nice.
Yeah, this was sweet. This is what you saw in the Andrew Dice Clay movie, the Fairlane 500, or Ford Fairlane 500. I think it was just Ford Fairlane. Anyway, it was a Ford Fairlane 500. Cherry red. And the guy down the street sold it to me for like $500. I had it like 3 weeks, and I wrecked it. I was terrible with cars. I wrecked every car I ever had. But this thing was so bad that after like 3 weeks, the brakes went out, and I didn't have the money to fix it. So I still rode it, believe it or not, with no brakes. I didn't go on the highway because, you know, if you're on the highway and you have to make a sudden stop, forget about it. But I would drive it around Brentwood, side streets. If we go to like one of the bars in Brentwood, I'd drive it, and I would try to time it where I would slow down before a stop sign. But if I couldn't, I would throw it in the emergency brake. I would, pew, and I would just come to a screeching halt. And that's how I drove that car for at least 2-3 months. If we were going like on the Admiral or something, somebody else would have to drive. I can't take it on the highway. But if we're staying in the city, I'll drive it because if I get to a stop sign or a stoplight, I just hit the emergency brake. I think after 2 months, the transmission went out, obviously. But that the worst car, and I even called Bird. I said, "You gave me a lemon. This thing, the brakes are out. The thing drives like crap. Man, it was good when I gave it to you." Worst car ever. And I think I may have a picture at home of it. It was a big blue thing. And I don't even know what make it. It was a Dodge. I don't know. It was a Dodge whatever. Just go look at big Dodge boat. But it was terrible.
Yeah, my Contour was not fun. It was the exact opposite of a boat. It was like a Fiat before Fiats existed.
Yeah, like a little Datsun.
Tiniest little thing.
Datsun. I had a Datsun, too, an orange Datsun, where the clutch went out, and I had to start it by somebody pushing me. I had a pop start because it was a what do you call it? Not automatic, a stick, and the clutch went out. So I'd go over to a girl's house. I'd leave and say, "Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you come push me?"
No, just
they'd
run.
Have to push you, and I have to. All right, and I'd pop the clutch in while it was moving.
Like, I'm going to be driving slowly by your house, so get ready. The door will be open.
No, the brakes work.
Jump in.
Yeah, I can't stop because you're going to have to push me. But then when I'd leave, I'd say, "Yeah, you got to come give me a push. I got to pop start this thing." So some terrible cars. Now I got the Corolla, which I love. But, you know, when you're young and you don't have a lot of money, you'll just get whatever you can.
Oh, that's my first. But the van at the first car payment, I guess the Jeep as well. So my last two vehicles are the ones I've had car payment. The other ones, straight cash, homie.
Yeah,
let's let it ride. Try to see if we can maybe get a year, 2 years out of a vehicle. That'd be perfect. And that was my goal through my 20s.
Now, I did have, we can kind of tie this into the second question, worst job you ever had. Waiting tables wasn't a bad job. But you were at the mercy of it being busy in order to make payments, you know, because you got paid cash. And, you know, if you had rent and stuff coming up at the end of the month and you had a bad week where I waited on two tables and I made $20, now you're screwed. So I had this Monte Carlo that I bought used, and I remember it because I had won some bowl bets. I had an astronomical run of college bowl games where I think I lost one out of, at the time, there were only like 13 college bowl games. But I only lost one. I was betting 100 a game. So I had some money. I said, I'm buying a used car. I bought a used Monte Carlo. And I was 2 months behind in payments. I had a terrible couple of months at Breckenridge where we're lucky if we had five tables. And I said, I got payments here. I'm making no money. And I walked out of work one night at Breckenridge. I've never told this story because it's kind of embarrassing. But I walked out of Breckenridge one night, and I said, where the hell's my car? And I went to the two security guards that worked there. They were plainclothes security guards. They weren't wearing the uniforms. They had suit and ties on, and they walked around, you know, like you didn't know who they were. And I said, somebody stole my car. Where was it? I go, it was parked right here. It's gone. He goes, you sure? I said, well, it's not there. So they're making phone calls, and, you know, because, you know, there's got to be somebody that says we were in your lot. I hate to tell you, this was repoed. I said, what? Yeah, they said you were 2 months behind. They came and repoed your car while you were working. I said, what the hell?
That's about right.
That was the most embarrassing day of my life, that my car got repoed. And when you get it back, that sticker won't come off.
No, it's there.
You're trying to get it. I said, God, come on. I can't even get a razor blade to get repoed off there,
like
whatever it said.
They like to keep the reminders very nice and close to you.
Oh, so that was a nice car. I like my Monte Carlo, but I got it back, but still. So that brings us into worst jobs. Now, you and I have both been in the hospitality industry before we got into radio.
Yes.
And some terrible jobs. It's not my worst job. But the bad part about it was is that no matter where you worked, now you were behind the scenes, so you were getting a salary. I wasn't. I was always waiting tables. And if you had bad weeks, man, I have no money. Nobody came in the last 2 weeks, and I'm making no money, and I got to pay bills, and I've made like $200 this week. At least you had some terrible jobs in the fast food industry, but at least you had a check.
Yeah, I think it has to start. See, I would say Burger King, in terms of what customers I dealt with, we were right across from a Super Walmart, so it's usually the people that would spend $400 on groceries and then still come by to get a $20 meal because they can't just wait to get home with all that food they have in their back seat. But in terms of, like, workers and management, that might have been the best. My boss, J-Mac, I sold him weed. Like, Monique and Marcus were my two cooks. We just smoked weed, like, all day. So, like, in terms of working the job, it wasn't terrible dealing with the customer. Pizza Hut was there. It was my job when I was 15, worked through it throughout high school. And it was Cliff Brown, my boss, was such a douche. Had a mustache, smoked two packs of Doral's inside. Because when I started, it was the tail end of, you were still able to smoke inside. So that Pizza Hut, all of our smoke breaks were in this little back table, just inside, right next to the dining room. But it was just a terrible job in terms of, you're a high schooler, you just want to have fun with your friends. And you got this vindictive boss who just, and he was a great bowler, by the way, too, which is the funny thing. He had a bowling league like twice a week. But it was the work that I was a dishwasher at 15 or 16. You're dealing with, your first time having responsibilities on the weekends. The pay was fun, but in terms of like the people I worked with was okay. The boss was miserable. We had a assistant manager named Mary Jane. She was the biggest bitch. Oh my God.
Did you get free pizza though?
Yeah, I sold a bunch. I just traded a bunch of weed or pizza for weed, like calzones, large pizza. So, it was a strict policy having to pay for your food. I probably stole $10,000 of food there and just traded it for drugs. So it sounds like a great job, like on the outside looking in, but doing that job for 5 years was a grind.
Five?
Because I did my first 2 years in junior college, I would come back home for the summer and the winter. You know, you come back for the winter and the summer, and I worked there as well. While I was home for the few months, and it was just god awful.
They are the worst jobs, man. I mean, you can get into a place like obviously in Bermuda. I'm working in a restaurant, waiting tables, but it was great. I remember Charco House. I was probably about the same age, 15, 16, and my dad got us a job washing dishes.
Yeah,
and we would come in because we'd have to do the evenings, and we'd come in and there'd be all these dishes from lunch. And I'd get pissed off. I said, you can't just leave all these dishes for us. He said, well, I'm waiting around all day. You know, we finish our job and whatever's out there, you got to.
But it's not finished.
I said, well, you wait until the tables are done from lunch. I'm not doing. And there would be like stackfuls of dishes in the sink. And that's back when you had the sprayer. You had to spray them before you put them in the thing.
Oh, yeah. That's how we had a Pizza Hut. We had two racks. We'd spray them. You'd have the silverware bucket to where you had to wash that separately. Oh, my God.
And you can only do one tray at a time. Yes. You can't. And this is like maybe 15 dishes. And we come in at dinner, there's like 100 dishes in the sink. So it would take us like, then the dinner rush would start. We're not even done with the lunch dishes yet. So we would just stack them up on purpose at night. There'd be like 7 tables still left. Then they'd bring in dishes. We just put them all in the sink and stack them up. Then we would leave. And they would come in at lunch. What is going on here? You're going to do it? We're going to do it. And it was a war going on. We come in, there'd be 1,000 dishes in the sink. We would stop working at 8 and just let all those dishes pile up till the next day. Till my dad said, yeah, you guys got to stop this. They're going to fire you. I said, I don't even like this job.
I didn't want to be here.
Yeah. So I think everybody had a war. And I was bussing tables for a while, and I hated that. And
it's looking, there's always looking out for yourself in terms of those jobs, especially at that age, 15 to 18 years old. You're not really thinking about, you know, the team environment at a Charcoal House or a Pizza Hut. You're thinking, I need to get out of here as fast as I possibly can.
And you didn't want to let your dad down because my dad was Mr. Charcoal House, and he got us the job. And then we had this war going on, and they're bitching, and we're bitching. And you guys are all going to get fired if you don't settle your differences. And they made us all stay until our dishes were done. So we'd get in there for a night, and they're still sitting around waiting for the last lunch table to come in. Ha-ha! And then we had to stay till midnight till our last table got in. A couple other ones. I mean, I worked at Hussmann Refrigeration when they went on strike. Had no clue what a scab was until the first day we showed up, and there's picket lines, and people are spitting on our windows, calling us scabs. And I'm like, what's a scab? You? And there were people, first day on the job. Now, guys, see out here in the back dock here? Keep an eye on those woods back there, because some of these picketers and union people trying to run through the woods and with bars and try to hurt you. What kind of a job is this? My dad got it for me. But we were late every... I mean, it was back then, I think we were making like 10 bucks an hour. This is a long time ago. But we were a scab. And we were late every day. I mean, my friend Gary Cruz, he was sleeping in his van. And a nice setup. He had a bed and everything back there. But he was sleeping in his van. And he would be late to pick us up, so we'd have to walk over in Brentwood. It was probably about a 10-minute walk. And he'd be sleeping. God, we're late for work. This is like the ninth time in the last 2 weeks we've been late. We're going to get fired. My dad's going to kill us. So we'd make up excuses. Oh, I'm sorry, I know you told us not to wear tennis shoes, and we noticed they had tennis shoes on, so we went home and changed. He goes, yeah, but you still got tennis shoes on. Oh, I didn't even notice. I mean, they had these... If you know anything about Hussmann, almost every grocery store you go to, the big refrigerators that have like the lunch meat, they're usually made by Hussmann. So my job was I had to blow up the airbags. They would put they would shove the refrigerator in the flatbed or the 18-wheeler, and then we would blow up these big airbags you'd put between them so they didn't touch each other. So they had these huge refrigeration boxes. And we would just, at lunch, we were so tired because usually that night we'd go to the Admiral at like 1 in the morning. Gary would not wake up. We'd be half asleep when we got to work. we would go blow up airbags and then put them in these huge refrigeration boxes and just sleep. And there were times when, where's Strode? Where's Young? We saw him in that box a little earlier. They'd go over there. We're just sound asleep on these airbags.
That's great.
We just, one time we had our own little crew. I was working with my brother and Gary. Gary rode the forklift, and me and my brother were in a crew, and came in one day, and he goes, Strode, you're down there today. I said, no, I work in this crew. Not today, you're down there. I said, I've been working in this crew for 6 months. Well, you're going down there today. I don't know any of those people. Well, they're short of man. You're going down there. And I actually said to him, I said, I'll go down there, but I'm not working. We were the worst employees ever until we got fired. And my dad said, what the hell happened? You know what it cost took me to get you guys this job? I said, we were scabs. I don't care. You're making good money. And now I'm embarrassed. They said you didn't show up half the time. You were late. You slept. Terrible job, though. I mean, you're getting up in the morning. You got to work 8 hours blowing up airbags all day in the middle of the summer, and you're back on those docks. Ugh.
I still think the man and the woman, because at least at least Pizza Hut paid. Those checks cleared. Like, you didn't have to run to the bank. You knew that there was money in the accounts. So I think $590, and again, great people that I met there, obviously met you there. You know, Joe Roderick, all the people that, you know, I kind of thank for my radio start. So it was fun. But in terms of the management and the staff, I would say it was subpar at best, and certainly not getting paid, having checks bounce, pretty much getting taken advantage of at every step of the, you know, the way, because I was so young in the industry that it got, that one got to be up there. It was, again, great memories, super fun people to work with, but management was absolutely miserable.
I didn't bring that up because that's a no-brainer.
I figured just... it was obvious, but for me, I actually love Burger King. Chicks on the Square, I made a ton of money in Macomb because I, like, we do, like, chicken lip. They're basically long chicken things. You dip them in barbecue sauce or hot sauce, and we go out at, like, 1 or 2 in the morning with this lip cart, and we would make so much money, dude.
That's a thing?
Oh, because we would stand right by...
Aren't
you know,
they a
there
beak?
Was a, no, it was just a chicken, like... boneless, like, chicken breast that we breaded and cooked, and, like, it just, it was so long. We called it a chicken lip.
Oh, I thought they were actually the lips of a chicken.
No, no. We no. just, that was the point, that was what we called them, was a chicken lip. I don't know why. But it was just an oversized boneless chicken on a stick. And we would go on the bar scene, and we would sell, like, 500 of those. But we would be up till 4 or 5 in the morning, because then you got to clean up, go back to the restaurant. But, yeah, you make so much damn money doing that.
I think we both had... worst jobs and our good jobs. I mean, this is the best job I've ever had for the last 4 months here.
This is the one where I feel like, okay, I'm not getting fired today. This one feels good.
It's early, but, you know, at least you're safe for a week at least. But it's a fun place to work. I remember as a kid, we were fortunate enough to belong to Brentwood Swim Club. If you remember Brentwood Swim Club, you've made it into high society in Brentwood. But we belong to Brentwood Swim Club. And that's when we were going out almost every night. I think it was 18, 19. And back then, fake IDs were very easy to get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need one. It was a Missouri license. You could just go to have a picture and said, what's your date? Come on in. But I had to clean the office buildings behind the Brentwood Industrial Court, behind the pool. And I'd be at the pool all day. It'd be like 4 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, I'd have to go clean these offices. And then we'd want to go on the Admiral, like 6:37. And they would come get me, and I would go to the clean offices in my swim trunks with no shirt, no shoes, nothing. I'd still be sweaty or wet from the pool, and I'd just run down there and start cleaning offices in swim trunks. And I did such a poor job. I mean, I've got the broom, and I'm lifting up rugs and throwing stuff under there. I'm not emptying trash cans. I'm throwing them in the hallway. I'm just taking a person's desk and wiping it all into the trash can. And my friends are there with me. Come on, man. Come on, man. We got to get to the Admiral. I still got 2 more offices. And they would go help me, but they weren't doing anything. They would say, all right, that office is done. Okay. And they did nothing. And I'd come in the next day. Did you do anything yesterday? I mean, this is unacceptable, Mr. Strode. These offices need to be immaculate. There was dust here. There was dust there. I said, I thought I did everything. And somebody said they saw you in swim trunks. I said, well, yeah, I was in a hurry. Was it matter what I wear? Yes, you can't just clean offices in swim trunks. So that lasted about 3 weeks, and I got fired from that one.
It's all about the work ethic and the multitasking.
It's kind of gone into my radio career as far as work ethic. I try to cut corners even back then at age 18. But we could do a whole 9 shows on bad jobs. But, you know, this thing when we get into these topics is that I'm much older than you. So I've had so many more experiences.
You've had
crap
some bad
jobs,
more so than I have. But I've had, there's a couple that I haven't named that, you know, obviously we can continue. So, yeah, but that I would say Pizza Hut was, because it was my first job, and Van the Woman because you weren't getting paid. So that one kind of tough.
That's a bad beat. You know, there'd be good days. Even if I had fun at the show, and the shows, you knew, well, payday's coming.
Yeah.
That's going to be bumper cars in the parking lot.
You weren't even excited. You're like dreading like the stress level of payday. Because you know there's about 10 checks that cash. So you're like, okay, how am I going to get this one? Am I going to use PTO to cash the check?
Yeah, which bank are they using this week? Ah, it was awful, and that was the bad thing about it. And the bad thing about that is then it kind of goes into your work. Because if you know you're probably not going to get paid, your check's going to bounce, you just kind of half-ass it. And you start taking it out on people. I know I kid all the time about I'd lock my door. Iggy, what are we doing tomorrow? I don't know. I got 9 other shows I'm working on. I'll let you know. And it's not because I dislike the women. They were great. It's just I would be so frustrated with knowing I'm not going to get paid. I would just say, I don't care anymore. And that's what sucked, because there were good people there.
Yeah.
Other than the people writing your check.
That's for sure.
It was usually the wife anyway.
Once they started to get personal checks, I knew this was over.
I still remember, and everybody's heard the story, but me and Sarah Estepari both had bounced checks that hadn't cleared yet. And he told us that I got just enough money in the account, and to show you how good it was, she was making as much money as I was. We were making the exact same salary. And he wrote his personal checks to cover both of our checks, and that was exactly how much he put into that bank account. But I had another check that he wasn't acknowledging. I said, "What about this check from 3 weeks ago? That bounced. You never repaid me that." He goes, "Well, that's another. We'll take care of that later. This is just for this check." I took both checks in. I still had the check. I cashed them both. And Estepari got there and, "Oh, there's not enough funds in this account." "What?" And Marshall blew up. He goes, "There's enough. What'd you do?" I said, "I cashed that other check. You bounced. You weren't supposed to." I said, "Well, I'm getting my money somehow." Poor Sarah. She had no money in her account for hers.
You're probably used to it by then.
That's what we went through for 5-6 months before they folded. But, yeah, I think we both agree that was just the awful job.
But we're here now.
Yeah. That's why we brought it up, because now I have the best job I've ever had. I've been doing this for 30 years, but it's the best job I've ever had. And it's only been 4 months, and it's only going to get better.
Hell yeah.
All right. Tomorrow we're going to come up with a topic that you can talk more about.
That's fine. I wanted to hear some of your jobs. Because we don't hear a lot of them on it. We hear your radio side of things, but it's not the early stages.
Oh, I got another 30 I could go into.
I like the AB one to where you denied.
Yeah. Come in. We got you. I got a date tonight. What? You know you're making $17 an hour. Yeah, I know, but I got a date tonight. You need to give me more warning. Okay.
The story was always stick with me.
Yeah, so I could be working at AB now, probably making $300,000 a year.
Had stock options.
Turned it down because I had a date. She probably stiffed me anyway. All right, that's it for a Monday edition. Another tease. Later on this week, we're going to get into a serious topic.
Yes.
I don't know what day, but we'll do a serious topic. So, anyway, for Plowsy, this is Iggy. Thanks for listening to Pepper and Genie right here. TMASTL, Hubbard Radio. If you want to hear this and everything else TMA has going on, whether it be Tim's podcast, Straight to the Web, the show, QFTA, all you got to do is download the TMA app, and you got everything. So we'll be back at it again tomorrow. Plowsy, Iggy right here, TMASTL, Hubbard Radio. See you tomorrow.
Pop quiz. What can you buy for $3.99? Not a latte, but for less than the cost of a cup of coffee, you can get all your favorite music ad-free. While other streaming services jack up their prices, LiveOne's membership is only $3.99 per month, and you can lock in that price for a full year. Join now to get the best deal in music with zero ads, unlimited skips, and maximum audio quality. Get the music you love at a price that fits into your budget with LiveOne Plus. Check out LiveOne.com/bestmusic for details.